blessings to you in Jesus' name. Hope all is well and good with you and yours. You know, Jesus said a lot of things, and Jesus did a lot of things. Jesus said things that some people of that time didn't agree with. Jesus also did things that people of that time didn't agree with. Jesus knew his mission and what was expected of him by Father God. There were all sorts of obstacles, evils, plots, and many other things against him. Jesus stayed the course. He was not afraid of their threats or their slander. Have you been called out? Have you been called? Have you been called out of your name or slandered by anyone? Have there been hidden plots against you, later to be exposed? Nothing gets past our Father in heaven. Because in Isaiah 54:17 it says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We also have access to the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:10-18. We have a complete arsenal to defend us against the evil in the world today. Remember, children of God, it's a spiritual battle. So use your spiritual weapons, which are not carnal. Don't take a squirt gun that shoots water to a gunfight that shoots real bullets. That's how bad we can be defeated if we try to fight the spiritual fight in the flesh. It's a mismatch. Do not try to fight a spiritual battle in the flesh and with the flesh. Fight with the Word of God. The Word of God, also known as that two-edged sword, described in Hebrews 4:12, and a sword of the Spirit, described in Ephesians 6:17. Our field this week includes us looking at the examples of Jesus, and his work against the opposition. Our first chapter is in the book of Luke, and it's chapter 6, verse 6 through 11. And it reads, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would deal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and disgust with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now, so they were filled with rage because Jesus healed on the Sabbath? They're mad and they're upset because Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath? Jesus asked them a simple question. He said, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? Jesus shows that it is okay to do good and to save life on the Sabbath because he just did it. The religious people of that time, Pharisees, scribes, they saw it different. Here again, we have two views, God's view and not God's view. Jesus does what is right in his Father's eyes. But in man's eyes, it wasn't right. Because it says they were filled with rage. They were filled with rage when Jesus healed someone. How many bad things can occur because of rage? These guys were religious leaders, and they didn't believe as Jesus did. They saw it a whole different way. Do you or have you witnessed with some of today's religious leaders? if they aren't saying what Jesus says, or they aren't doing what Jesus did, you better beware. Don't be deceived by fancy and eloquent words. What are they saying? What's the message? Are they doing what Jesus said? Are they doing what Jesus did? That's the question to ask. Don't be fooled. Our next example comes from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. He gave them power. Jesus gave them power and authority over all demons, it says. You see, it doesn't matter which type of demon it is. Because we hear in today's world, oh, this is that kind of demon. It's a serpent demon. It's that thing. It's this kind of demon. It's that demon. According to this verse, all demons, all of them, cannot escape being under the power and authority of Jesus. And guess what? He gave it to us in Luke 10:19. It also says to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. To preach the kingdom of God or the ways of man? Look out today, you guys. We see the preaching of God and we see the preaching of the ways of man. I hear inclusion being preached out there instead of the kingdom of God, which is sad. Let's pray for them. Pray that they will repent and turn back to God. Which saves souls from sin? The inclusion teaching of man or the teaching of Jesus Christ? So if they're teaching man's ways instead of the kingdom of God, you better run. You better run from there as fast as you can. You see, we are never told in the Word of God that our feelings or emotions made us well. No, we're never told that our feelings or emotions made us well. We are told it is by faith. It is by faith. It is believing Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. No, it's clear that it's by faith. It also says they went through towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, do you think they had opposition doing these things, preaching the gospel, healing? Of course they did. Of course they did. Because Jesus said, they did it to me, they'll do it to you. So if he had opposition, his disciples, his believers are going to have opposition. Just as we do in today, we're going to have the opposition. But we got to obey the word of God just as Jesus did and allow the power of Jesus to speak to them so that they may be saved. So say what Jesus said, even when they disagree, even when they disagree. Stick with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Live Jesus-like. Speak Jesus-like. Let them see Jesus that they too can be saved. Our next example comes from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 49 and 50. Now John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him, because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side." How about that one? They saw someone casting out demons in Jesus' name, but they forbid them to do it because they didn't follow with them. But wait a minute, a good thing was being done. someone was being set free in Jesus' name from the oppressor, from the devil. Someone was being set free and they forbid it. Didn't that sound like those Pharisees and scribes who got angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath? Wow. Talk about leaning on your own understanding. This is a clear picture of it. Jesus said not to forbid them. He who is not against us is on our side. It's a very simple concept that Jesus lays out before us all. He keeps it real simple for us. Is it being done in his name? Because we know, according to the word, that Satan cannot cast out Satan. You find that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. A house divided cannot stand. So why would you kick yourself out if you want to destroy from within? If you're trying to take something down, why would you boot yourself out? Doesn't make sense, does it? You see, the fruit will follow. It's not lip service, because people talk a good game these days. What fruit are they leaving behind? What's the message that's being left behind? Is it Jesus or is it man? Is it Jesus or is it inclusion? Because it makes you feel good. He said, if they are not against, then they are on our side. We, children of God, we got to discern with the Spirit. Ask if they come in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Don't be deceived again by these fancy words and titles, for they could very well be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Pretending to be of the way, but they are not. Why was James Bond so good in the movies? He was a spy. He worked for the British government, but he infiltrated by posing as one of them. Why? To get into what? Take them down. He was not of them. He came against them. But in order to get close to them, he acted and he sounded and he portrayed himself as one of them. Look at all the James Bond movies. How does he get in so easy? How does he get in and destroy them from the inside out? Satan wants to destroy from the inside out. If he can get in, he can do all kind of damage. So don't allow someone to pretend and you be fooled by them pretending. Either you are of and about Jesus or you're not. There is no middle ground. There is no warm ground with Jesus. Look and see what Revelation 3:16 says. You're either in with the Lord or you're out with the Lord. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Again, by their many words that sound good. Are the words and the action of them, are they of Jesus Christ? Are the actions that these people speak, are the words that they speak, are they of Jesus? Don't be fooled. Our next example comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 14. And it reads, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" He said, "To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Wow. Incredible word, Lord. So while Jesus is telling this parable, it has much meaning and revelation in it. But when he's telling it, the disciples don't get it. They don't understand what he's saying. But when Jesus is speaking, it has meaning and it has revelation in it. But again, the disciples, they're not getting it. You see, Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, they are the only ones who knows and understands. Jesus is the only one who knows and understands this parable that he's saying right now. But guess what? You have people out there. They're out there who think they are good at interpretation. Can I tell you? There's man's interpretation and there's God's revelation. You can have seven different pastors read this and come up with seven different interpretations. Be careful, children of God. Be careful of the manly interpretations. Are they guessing, or was it revealed by the Spirit of truth to them? Let us follow the disciples' lead. They said, Jesus, what does this parable mean? But you know, in today's world, we know everything. We got an answer for everything. Man has an answer for everything that's out there. He knows everything about everything in his mind. But we know that's not true, because he always comes up short and he always comes up wrong. Our Father God in heaven, he's the only one who knows everything. Jesus is the only one who knows everything. Holy Spirit is the only one who knows everything. And according to the word, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So we have access to the very one who knows everything. So if we don't know, ask the one who knows. Ask the one who knows. It is okay to say, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I'm a pastor. I study the word of God. I spend time with the Lord. But you know, there is so much in this word I don't know. There are things you can ask me. And if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know. I'm not going to make something up. That won't do you any good and won't do me any good. I'll tell you, I don't know. But let's seek the Lord for the answer. Seek the Lord for the answer. Be aware of everybody who's got the answers, and so quickly. Jesus is the only one who can respond so quickly and with the correct and right answer. Because there's all sorts of answers. It may not be the right one, but somebody can have an answer for you, right? I want to tell you something that makes you feel good. But again, ask the one who knows everything, Jesus. He said, there are mysteries of the kingdom of God that we don't know about. Jesus said, there are mysteries of the kingdom of God that we don't know about. So when he says we don't know about it, what does that mean? We don't know about it until what? He reveals it to us. You can't guess and say, well, this is what it is. No, it's called a mystery for a reason. And he's the only one who knows what it is. So he's the only one who can reveal. Revelation, he reveals. Jesus said, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you, it has been given to know. How are we going to know? He's going to reveal it to us through the Spirit. Amen. Remember when Jesus asked them and he said, who do they say I am? And they said things like, oh, John the Baptist, Elijah, and some of them, you know, some of the prophets. Those are answers of what? They're guessing, aren't they? They're leaning on their own understanding. They're not leaning on revelation because they don't know. They're saying, oh, he's John the Baptist. Oh, it could be Elijah. Oh, it could be one of the prophets. It could be, or it is. It could be, that's different. Is and could be two different things. Do you really want to lean and live by it could be? Or do you want to live and lean on it is? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, but they're leaning on their own understanding and not revelation knowledge that comes from the Lord God. Just as he revealed the truth to Peter. And Jesus let them know that it was revealed from his Father in heaven, not man. You find that in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. Jesus lets them know, because the members said, oh, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, yeah, my Father revealed that to you. You didn't get that from man. That's the only way you know that answer. He said, my Father told you. Now, Peter didn't interpret it. He didn't guess right. It was revealed to him. The Lord reveals. Revelation is what making known. I will reveal it to you so you will know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So don't be afraid to ask Jesus to reveal himself or his word to you when you don't know and you don't understand. Be humble. Don't lean on your own understanding. Ask. Would you rather guess wrong all the time or get revelation knowledge from the one who knows everything about everything? Jesus takes the guesswork out. He takes the guesswork out. And as we see, he took the guesswork out of what type of seeds these are and how they operate. He said the seed is the word of God. So the seed being the word of God, and the devil, Satan, wants what? He wants the seed from us. Jesus lets us know in this parable, he's coming after the seed. He's coming after the word of God. And he'll take it if you're not careful. He'll take it from you. Jesus is warning us in this parable. The seed is the word of God, and Satan wants to take it from you. Why? You're dangerous with the word of God. You're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness when you activate the word of God and walk in it and believe and walk by faith. So sow the word of God that the enemy or life's issues can't steal it away. Have faith in Jesus. Do as he did and say what he said. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Glory to our Father God in heaven for his teaching of his word. I pray you grow stronger with more boldness than ever before in his word, with his word, that them out there, the people out there, that they may see and believe in the one and only Son of the Most High Living God. I pray that Jesus reveal himself to you as never before with revelation knowledge. In the name of Jesus, our King, amen. Pastor Tyron, signing off.